Good morning. Welcome to our Wednesday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. It's my prayer that you've had a great Christmas weekend, and I was able to extend mine a little bit, and so running a little later than a typical weekday broadcast, but we're here today and talking this week, praying this week about Jesus and looking at some of the things the Bible says, names or titles that were used for him. And first part of the week, coming out of, quoted in the Gospels, but coming out of Isaiah 9, verse 6, says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And so the prayer guide that I base these broadcasts off of, Monday focused on the Wonderful Counselor part, and that idea that Jesus has given us not only his counsel through the Word, but a Wonderful Counselor in his Spirit that dwells within us. So we have the Wonderful Counselor with us today as the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, dwells within us, guides us, directs us, corrects us, does all of the things necessary for us to walk in relationship with Jesus. The Tuesday portion of the prayer guide yesterday would have been the Mighty God. And the idea that the Bible tells us that as Jesus ascended into heaven, he was seated at the right hand of God. And the might that exists within being seated with God and being God, the power over all things, and to realize Jesus, that baby that was born, that we celebrate at Christmas time, was more than a baby. But even as a baby was, in fact, Mighty God. And he was to be known as that. And Jesus came to represent that Mighty God to you and to me, to mankind everywhere, so that we would know what it looks like to live under the authority of God. And today we're going to spend most of our time talking about Wednesday's portion of the prayer guide and the line out of that verse out of Isaiah that talks about Everlasting Father. John 8, verse 58, "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." The reaction to this statement was, well, if you understand Jewish history, it was probably pretty predictable. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, were up in arms, perhaps literally as well as figuratively, as they took this as blasphemy against God. Because that very statement of not only existing before Abraham, but that declaration of "I am" was to them a claim by Jesus that he was indeed God. Now, obviously, it wasn't blasphemy because it was true. And it is true. But it's the name that God told Moses to use when Pharaoh was to ask, "Who sent you?" And we think of Jesus as the Son of God, and yet we, because we can't comprehend it, it's not anything like earth and flesh and the nature of it, of God being unique in each part, but being one in each part. And so even as the Son of God, Jesus can claim and be called the everlasting Father. Jesus says, if you've seen him, you've seen the Father, for he and the Father are one. As I think about an everlasting Father, I think about, well, Christmas gatherings. And the way that, at least in the gatherings that I'm a part of, the families that I am with and from, and there's a respect and honor given to those who are the oldest, who in a sense began the current family gatherings. And in my lifetime, I've watched that transition from my grandparents to my parents. And to realize the respect and honor that is given to human parents and human authority because of its longevity. And I realize there's more to it than simply longevity. It's an earned honor because of their love, because of their caring, because of what they've invested in the family, because of the involvement. But with Jesus as the everlasting Father, we discover that it's one that has always been present and always will be. And we can take comfort and courage in the knowledge that, well, as Scripture says, he never will leave us nor forsake us. And I know there are many who struggle over the holiday seasons, whether it's Christmas or any others, because of a father or mother who is no longer physically present at the family gathering. Our life here on earth is temporary, and we experience that loss and that sense of questioning of what's next. How do I go on? Who's in charge now? And when we look at Jesus, we discover that that question, well, it ought to never come up because he's still in charge. There isn't a next. Oh, there may be a next in our awareness, but in his presence, it isn't. There will be a day we see him face to face, but it doesn't change his authority now, and it doesn't really change his authority then. Our submissiveness to it might change, just as it has changed throughout our life. But we know Jesus is the one who, well, John says, brought all things into existence. That everything that was made through him, and nothing that is made was made without his involvement. And he will be there at the end of all of this stuff as we're ushered into his presence. That eternity in the heavenly realms, whatever that might look like, we know it's heaven because he is there. And he welcomes those who are his. And so this everlasting Father becomes not only the one who has made us, but the one who sustains us, and the one who keeps us. And so we see Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior, as our brother, but also as the one who's in charge from before the beginning of time till time is no more. And the reason that that is important is the same reason that Jesus brought it up in the text that we read that angered the religious leaders to such an extent. Because it ought to change the way we live. It ought to change how we treat one another. The everlasting Father that Jesus is to be called is because we have become children of the living God through Him. And as such, we ought to act like children of the living God. The way we treat our brothers and sisters and the way we treat those who are not yet family members. God's desire is that we would know Him as we know Jesus. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank You that You are a God that loves us. Your love has called us to Yourself. It has given us the gift of Your Son and shown us all of the ways that He represents Your very nature because, well, You and He are one, just as You want us to be one with You and to be one with one another. And so, God, today, as we pray about Jesus being our everlasting Father, may we give Him the respect and honor that's due. May we listen and obey the things that He has called us to do. May we follow His direction and His leading. May we realize that there's never been a time where He didn't exist, and there never will be a time that He doesn't exist, that we can be confident in His presence. And Father, as we consider the various parts of who Jesus was to be called, and we recognize that this everlasting Father is indeed the mighty God, that He is our wonderful Counselor, that He represents all aspects of who You are. Father, even though our mind just struggles to wrap itself around those principles and how that even works, today we come with thankfulness that it's true, that we can know You through knowing Jesus. And so, Father, may our celebration of the birth of Jesus continue, not just in this season we call Christmas, but every day that You give us. And may we rejoice in the goodness of an everlasting Father that loves us beyond measure. And as we rejoice in that goodness, may we lift up Jesus in all things so that many would be drawn to Him. It's in His name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Wednesday, a devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.